Well, whether you realize it or not, you're making decisions, and you made them today, that absolutely influence your future. Big decisions, little decisions, really doesn't matter because they all have a big impact, an impact on the person you're becoming, right? Not who you will become, currently who you are becoming, and a big impact on really what your life is going to be like. Now, thinking about that, just curious, how many of you are a little nervous by what I just said? When you think about the decisions that you make and how that impacts your future, how many does that hit? I'm on the nervous side of that, all right? How many of you that kind of hear that, you're like, yes, that's awesome. I love making, is there anyone that's out there that's like, man, that's me, I'm good with that. I want to take these. All right, so what we've just seen in the room are differences in personalities. Some of you are natural risk takers. Hey, bring on the decisions. I'm great with that. Bring on the future version of me. I want to head that way. Some of you are more risk averse. I'm not so sure about these decisions because I don't know what that's going to be like for my future, right? And some of us fall in sometimes in between, just depending on the day and things like that. But here's the truth. No matter the personality type we have, none of us by nature are wise decision makers. None of us, based on the nature that we are born with, regardless of personalities, are necessarily good at this thing called decision making. We naturally have a strike against us when it comes to making good decisions. So we started this series, Direction, to talk about that. And we kind of laid out this formula that our decisions, plus the divine, that would be God himself, determines our destination, where we land. But the reason why we didn't call this series Destination is because that's not where we're going to be fixed on necessarily, our destination, because we're going to realize that every day as I make decisions in connection with the divine, I want to be faced in a direction that leads to the destination. I want to be focused on the destination, or the direction rather. And so our theme verse in this series, found in Psalm 32:8, says this, "I will instruct you and teach you," this is the Lord speaking, "in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Isn't that an amazing promise for you and for me? That God says to us, you don't have to and you shouldn't just try to figure out this thing called life on your own. That here he's saying, I will guide you each step of the way. I will show you the right way to go. I'll even give you counsel as you go. And catch this, I'll never quit watching you. I'll never take my eye off you. That's an amazing promise, a promise that all of us should be leaning into every single day. And so that's what this direction series is all about. In response to probably the most commonly asked question I get, unless we're in the sex, love, and dating series, but then I get different questions. But aside from that, the question I get the most is this, Todd, how do I know God's plan for my life? Todd, how do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? How do I know where I'm supposed to be going? How do I know what God wants me to do? And so I gave you kind of a big overarching principle that will guide us in this series, and it's this. The decisions you make today determines the life you live tomorrow. And so what I'm trying to drive in with this principle is, I just don't want you thinking of the future version of you and the future big decisions that you're going to make. I want you to be thinking about the current version of you, because the decisions you're making today are affecting the future version of you. So that means that none of us get this free pass when it comes to high school years or college years where we're like, you know, I'll just get more serious later. I'll take my faith more seriously later. You know, high school, it doesn't really matter that much. College doesn't matter that much, young adult. I've got plenty of time to when I get to the future. But here's what I'm saying. You won't be the same person in the future if that's your thinking now. You're charting your current course. In other words, we make our decisions and our decisions make us. You realize that? So decisions are incredibly important, especially right now. And so I want to talk tonight about how we grow in our decision making. How do we grow when it becomes more and more difficult to decide, should I go to college or should I get just a vocation or do a trade school? Then where should I go to college if I go? What should I major in? Should I date this person while I'm in college, knowing that, hey, the stakes are higher? Because then the next question is, should I marry this person that now I'm dating in college or as a young adult? And then should we get married, and what does that look like? How do we know what God wants us to do? The good news is this, that if you're a follower of Jesus, God will show you exactly what he wants you to do. There will never be any doubt in your mind, and you will be 100% sure there'll never be any problems or obstacles at all. And everything I just said is completely untrue. That is not how it'll play out at all. There will never be a time where you are 100% certain, or there will never be a time where God necessarily just lays it all out in front of you in one giant sheet and says, here it is, just follow this roadmap or go this direction. But that's what many people think, that if I've given my life to Jesus, just everything falls in place and I'll know everything and I'll just follow everything and it'll be 100% certain all the time and nothing will ever get in my way. This was how I thought as a high school student based on some bad teaching that I got. I just thought everything, because I love Jesus, was just naturally supposed to fall in place. I'd pray about it, God answered it, and there I went, and nothing ever would get in the way until things started getting in the way, and I went, but wait, I thought that's not how this formula thing worked. A plus B equals C. Wait, this isn't adding up right. So big thought for today. You say to God, show me what to do. God, show me, and I'll do it. But listen, God says to you this. I'm not always going to show you what to do. And that may surprise some of you, but he does say this, I will give you the wisdom to decide. So hear this, God will not always show you what to do, but he will always give you the wisdom to decide. We talked about wisdom before quite a bit, and I probably always will. To understand wisdom, that it's one of the most important qualities that we can pursue from God. Remember Solomon in the Old Testament? When he became king after his father, he was to sacrifice a burnt offering, a bull before the Lord, and Solomon took it to the next level. He wanted to worship God with such extravagance that when he was anointed king and to become king, rather than sacrifice one bull to the Lord, he slaughtered 1,000 bulls to the Lord. 1,000 burnt offerings, 1,000, an extravagant act of worship before God. And in a dream after that, God said to him, Solomon, I will give you whatever you wish. So don't ever think for a moment that generosity and worship doesn't move the heart of God, because I believe it does. An extravagant move of generosity draws the heart of God. And God says to Solomon, I'll give you what you want. And Solomon doesn't say, give me riches, or give me power, or give me unlimited wishes when I rub the lamp, right? He doesn't ask for these things. He says, God, help me be a good king. This is exactly what he says, 1 Kings 3:9. So give your servant, here it is, a discerning heart. We're going to talk about that word, discernment. To govern your people and to distinguish. Here's wisdom, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. For who's able to govern this great people of yours? He says, give me wisdom so that I can do the right thing in such a way that would honor you. And God said, hey, because you didn't ask for all these other things, I'm going to give you all those other things, and I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for, but I'm most certainly going to give you the wisdom that you asked for. And so then out of wisdom, Solomon, comes this challenge that he gives to the rest of us in Proverbs 4:7. He says, the beginning of wisdom is this, meaning take note, here it comes after the colon. He says, get wisdom. It couldn't get any more clear than that. Solomon, the wisest person to ever live, says, here, if you want to find wisdom, here it is, get it. To which you should be left going, that doesn't really define, but get it. Okay, all right, so it's important. Gotcha, I should be getting. He repeats himself, and whatever you get insight. He kind of repeats, get wisdom. And whatever you get wisdom. It's this important. And so you want to know the wisest thing that you could do? Get wisdom. Develop good judgment, whatever you do. Now, none of you guys have lived long enough yet. But find an old person like me and start this sentence with them and see how they finish it. Ask them to finish it. I wish I knew You know what they're going to say? I wish I knew back then, when I was your age, what I know now. I guarantee you, every single old person you find like me will say that. If you ask them, tell me about what it was like, if you could go back, they'd say, oh man, I wish I knew back then what I know. What is that? That's wisdom. I wish I had the wisdom of where I am now. If I could go back, there'd probably be things that I would do differently. There'd probably be decisions that I'd make differently. There'd probably be friends that I'd hang out with, and it may be a different group of friends, right? They'd all say, if I knew what I know right now back then, I'd be in a different place. So if you're young and you're wise, you'd say, how do I start to figure out some of those things now so I'm not saying that one day? How do I start to apply wisdom now? Why? Because wisdom above all else is more valuable than gold, Solomon says. He says, get wisdom. God, I want your direction. Show me what to do. Listen, God will not always show you what to do, but he will give you the wisdom to decide. Let me give you a few ways that that could play out for you tonight. Number one would be, in simple words, walk. Walk. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So he says, what happens when you walk with wise people? You become wise. But he says the opposite, the inverse is also true. Walk around with fools and you will suffer harm. I can't tell you how huge this is as a principle for you guys to grab right now as high school students. And I know you may be consumed with, Todd, if I could just have this group of friends, or if I could just be a part of this group. And I'm going to tell you, yes, be consumed with being a part of a group. But make sure it's the right group for the right reason. And make sure it's the wise group. It may not be the popular group. It may not be whatever the label or whatever you're chasing after that group is. The wisdom from God's word would be this. Cling to the wise. Surround yourself with the wise. Find the other people that have said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going with Jesus no matter what. Find the people that are ahead of you, wiser than you, and align yourself there because of this principle. And you've heard me say it before. Show me your friends right now, and I'll show you your future. Show me the people that you're surrounding yourself with, and I'll show you where you're going to be in your future. That's how important it is. Your friends matter. They're shaping the direction of your future. You become like those who you hang out with. I've got a former student that just got out of prison. And we've been corresponding by old-fashioned style. That's all you can do is write letters. And he initiated, and I didn't even know, so I was catching up on his story a little bit. And he said, Todd, would you just send me anything? Send me. I just am so lonely here. I'll read anything. He said, can you send me some of your sermons? I'm like, well, I can't really send you the audio. So I started just typing them out, sending him my notes and my manuscripts and read right back and forth. I'd get a letter. I'd try to respond to his needs and what he's asking about. And in one of the letters, I just simply kind of asked him, I said, how did you get where you are? Because it's not the same student that I remember. And there were some bad decisions he talked about that he made personally, but you know where he said it all started for him? The wrong crowd. It didn't start with the bad decisions. Well, unless you want to consider the first bad decision was the wrong group of friends. It started totally with the wrong group of friends. And here's what I tell you. He's on one of our guys' retreats years ago. And if I would have sat with him eye to eye, we were out in a canoe together fishing. Hey, you want to know something? In, I don't know how many years ago, in 5-6 years, you're going to be in prison. He would have laughed at me. No, no way. Are you kidding me? How's it happen? It doesn't happen by one decision. But it does happen by who you choose to surround yourself with. Good news is God's done a redeeming work in his heart. I hope to bring him in one night. He said he'd be open with talking with you guys. I'd love to bring him in and let him kind of share his story. But look, I'll just tell you, it's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Absolutely impossible. So walk with the wise, become wise, do life together, walk together. It's why we talk about life groups so much, about you being in a community with other believers that are going to encourage you and challenge you. Because look, 1 hour a week, whether coming to church or koinonia, is not enough. You've got to be in community with people you can lean in on, that you can text, you can call whenever. You can challenge one another, see one another at school, encourage one another, walk with one another. Why? Because when you're in a school environment where there's so much worldliness and so much sinfulness, we've got to walk with people who consistently push us and pull us in the right direction. And if you want to make better decisions, hang around better people. Some of you really need to hear this, although that may be hard. It's so important. If you want God's direction, hang out with God's people. And that doesn't mean you don't have people you're ministering to who are far away from God. It doesn't mean you just shun people that aren't walking with Jesus. Not at all. But those that you're walking closest with need to be the ones that are walking closest with Jesus. Walk with the wise, you grow wise. That's walk. Number two, ask. Ask. There's a promise and a prayer that I believe God answers every single time. Every time that you ask God for wisdom, I believe He hears your prayer and says yes. I know that from James chapter 1. It says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask, and I give it generously. I'll pour it out on you. Can I tell you something crazy about being a parent? Now, granted, I'm parenting from an age span of 3 years old to 18 with a couple in between, but there's something crazy, and here's something that I've seen happen. When all of my boys were little, it was living the dream because I was their hero. Walk in the door, Daddy! Ah, oh, sweetest words ever. Thankfully, I still have a little one, so I still get to hear it. Trent's still my Daddy's my hero. Daddy's home, right? I love it. I love it. It's not going to last forever. I know. I'm living the dream, holding on to it as long as I can. But here's what I know. When your kids are little, man, when they're young, you're their hero and you know everything, right? You guys remember that? But then they get a little bit older and then you become stupid and you don't know anything. And I'm like, I didn't change. How did this happen? What's going on here, right? You know what I'm talking about? Because this is where many of you are as teenagers. Dad, you're an idiot. You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. It's okay. Confession later. You don't know anything, right? But then here's what's so crazy. You get a little older, and maybe you'll cry and apologize, because here's what's going to happen. One day you're going to turn into them, and you aren't going to know how that happened, right? And then all of a sudden you're going to go, gosh, they really were smart. They really did know a little bit more. They really were wise. And now all of a sudden, I'm leaning in on them, maybe not as much as a parent, but as a peer now, kind of a friend relationship. The dynamic I have with my dad and my mom has totally changed. And I lean in on them and I seek their counsel. I want them to speak into my life and encourage me and to challenge me and things like that. It'll be your turn one day. That's the way that it is. But look, ask God, because He loves to share wisdom with His children. When you ask Him. But here's the deal, though. You've got to spend time with Him to ask Him. Where can you get wisdom from? I promise you, you can get it every single day from His Word. Get in a reading plan. Have a strategy. Get into God's Word. You will find wisdom. You can get it every day from other believers in your life group. You can get it every day by listening to the Holy Spirit in prayer. He's the good shepherd, He says, who guides His sheep. He says, what do we have to do? We just have to learn how to hear His voice. And He promises that He'll lead us to where He wants us to go. You've got to spend time with Him. And the more time you spend with Him, the more wisdom you'll gain. And He says, I may not tell you what to do, but I will give you the wisdom to decide. I will guide you. I will advise you. I will watch over you. That's our theme verse for this series in Psalm 32:8. That verse always reminds me of a great moment I had in parenting, of teaching my boys how to ride their bikes. You have that moment where you strap on the helmet extra tight. Today's the day, boys. The training wheels are coming off, right? And you unscrew them and you take them off. And, Daddy, you're not going to let go, are you? You're not going to let go. No, I'm not going to let go. But I will let go. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on. And I'm running behind. And I'm holding the seat, keeping their balance. And then there's that moment where they're trying to look behind. Don't. Keep your eyes straight ahead. And what do? You let go. And they wobble a little bit. But here I am, just running as fast as I can to keep up with my hand right there. Because if they start to fall, man, I'm going to grab them. I'm going to stabilize that bike. But as I'm running behind to keep up, and I've got my hand there, I've got the biggest smile on my face ever. Why? Because there's great joy as I watch my children learn how to know, hey, I'm right there with you. I'm there with you. But you can do this. You can do this. And then to see them do it, and I think it's such a great picture of this verse, that God will guide us, He advises us, He watches over us, but guess what? He celebrates with us. Just like me with my boys as they ride their bike, God celebrates, He rejoices when we walk with Him, which leads us to the last thing, and that's to decide. Ask, walk, decide. I like the original Karate Kid. I'm old school. I'm sure the new one's great, but it's got some great lines. At one point, Mr. Miyagi says this to Daniel-san. He says, must talk. That's my great Miyagi. Don't try to repeat it. He goes this, walk on road. Walk on right, stay safe. Walk on left, stay safe. Walk in middle, sooner or later get squished just like grape. Such great wisdom. Some of you, it'll take longer. It's okay. Hang on to it. Savor it. Great wisdom. Walk on right, stay safe. Walk on left, stay safe. Walk in middle, get squished like grape. So awesome. So, some of you are not there. Go watch it. Hopefully it's on Netflix. All right. It's really good advice. And what I want to say to you from a pastor that loves you and cares about you guys, don't be afraid of making a mistake. The biggest mistake for so many of us may just be walking down the middle. Because walking down the middle is not choosing one or the other. And it may seem like, oh, that's just a safe place to be, but it's not making a decision. It's not making a choice. So here's the question then. I know you're going to fire back at me. Well, Todd, then, how do I know if it's from God? How do I know? Is this an open door from God? Or it may be an open door from the devil. How do I know? How do I know which one I'm supposed to walk through? Look, there are things that God's Word says don't do. Here's my advice. Don't do them. There's things that God's Word says do these things. Here's my advice. Do those things. And then there's things where God's Word says, I don't know it here. I'm not sure. I don't know what God's Word's saying. How do I necessarily figure that out? Look, whenever God's Word speaks, our response is to obey. But if there isn't a clear moral biblical direction, then here's what I know. God gives us wisdom to decide. If He doesn't lay it out, if He doesn't say, yes, this, no, this, yes, this, if it lands somewhere in between, then here's what I know. He's given us wisdom from His Word to decide what to do if He hasn't laid it out for us. Now look, God could have programmed you to do exactly what He wanted you to do. But then you wouldn't have the freedom to choose to love Him in return. And He loved you enough to give you the freedom to make choices. So you could choose Him or you could choose somebody else. And there's so many things that you could freak out about and be paralyzed by and trying to make decisions. But God says, look, you decide. I trust you. Make the call. I've given you wisdom. And here's what I know. You're going to go, but Todd, what if I make a mistake? What if I don't make the right decision? Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. You may go, what in the world is that? Look, I want you to see where Paul is. Paul said, we've been asking, we're not sure, we couldn't bear it any longer, we thought it was best, so, meaning God didn't tell us, He didn't say anything, we just made a decision. Look, there's going to be times where you just have to lean in on wisdom, try your best to listen to God's Spirit and just make the decision. Look, I'll tell you, there's sometimes, as a pastor, I know, as sure as I'm standing here, that God's directing me. But then I know this, there's other times where God's just saying, Todd, I'm trusting you, which is terrifying because I know me. But then God's saying, I'm trusting the Spirit. I may not be audibly directing you. I may not be giving you great clarity right here in this moment, but I'm trusting you to lean in on me and make a decision and move forward. What if I make a mistake? Guess what? When you make a mistake, what do you get? You get wisdom, right? You get wisdom. Now, you may get an extra bill in the mail or an extra semester in school or maybe an extra kid. Not saying if that happened to me or not, but hey, you also get wisdom. God guides you. God coaches you. God watches over you, and He gives you wisdom to decide. It was the spring of 2004. Brooke and I hadn't even been married a year yet, when where we were serving in Montgomery was not a good fit for us, and two PCA churches kind of reached our direction and said, we want you to consider coming to be our student pastor. We were excited about the opportunities, didn't know anything about either church, didn't know anything about either city, really. Had no family, friends, nothing like that really there. And so we said, all right, God, we're not sure what you want for us, but we'll go explore these options. And I started phone conversations, email back and forth, went down for an initial kind of visit, kind of scope it out a little bit. Got invited back to both locations with Brooke for kind of more the official visit. Came down to both and preached and spoke. And we'd come back home and we'd go, man, we'd kind of weigh it out. There's pros and cons at both. We could see ourselves really at either place. These are two great kind of godly churches. We'd be excited to land. We liked kind of both the cities, even though they were very different in very different states. And time marched forward, and we still seemed a bit stuck. How are we going to decide? How do we know? We were asking God, make it clear. It was as muddy as it could get. I mean, it was clear that we liked both of them, but there was no, like, no star shown over one of the cities. And we, like the wise men went, well, clearly, there it is. Look at the star. It's over. And we just followed on our camels. We don't have camels. But we just, you know, it wasn't like that at all. We went two great opportunities. How do we know what to do? And so we prayed. We asked God for wisdom. And here's what we had to do. We just had to make the decision. And here we are 13 years later. Because Wildwood was one of those churches. And I could have never imagined, had no connections, had no idea what God was going to do, but we just had to decide, and God was faithful to give us the wisdom to decide. And I'll tell you this, I've never regretted that decision. But I will tell you, it hadn't always been easy, and there were times that I wasn't so sure. There were times of doubt in my early years. Holy moly, what did I get myself into? God, is this where you are? Are you sure? Is this where you want me? But here's what I know. The other church that we were looking at, another great church, great fit. Within that year of me being here, not for any particular reason, but every one of their staff, pastor, worship pastor, all left. The student pastor was the only guy left. And I was like, that would have been me. That's terrifying. I would have been leading the church. That's really terrifying, right? And I don't know God's wisdom plan, but I just go, you know what? You make the decision. You make the decision and you lean in and you trust God. And so like last week, most of this direction series is really just about that. What direction are you headed? Are your feet pointed to Jesus? Is your face set on Jesus? Is your heart aligned with God's will and God's word each and every day? Focus on who He's calling you to be, like we said last week. Lean in on the wisdom that He offers and know that He guides, advises, and watches over. There is no way that we could ever know or foresee what's going to happen in our future. All we can do is be faithful in the next step. So don't freak out. Get to know Jesus. Learn His voice. Walk with Him. Walk with wise people. Surround yourself with people who are pleasing Jesus and walk with them. Ask God for wisdom. He gives it generously to all. Make a decision. What if I mess up? God guides you. He's with you. So how do you get in God's perfect will? Serve God perfectly in this moment, today. And when you wake up, serve God perfectly in that moment, tomorrow. As best you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. God, help me to be who you want me to be so I can do what you call me to do. God, help me go in the right direction. God, lead me in the right way. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the good shepherd that guides me as your sheep. Wherever you guide me, I will follow you step by step. God, give me wisdom to decide and discern, to know. Father, we thank you that you make these amazing promises to us. Promises to walk with us, to guide us, to give us wisdom, to be the very vision we need for the future of our life. And God, no matter the personality type in here, we all realize the deficiency we have. in making wise choices. But praise God, we're able to lean in. If anyone asks, God, you give wisdom. I pray this would be a high school ministry filled with high school students begging you day in and day out for wisdom, setting their face and their heart in your direction, surrounding themselves with godly men and women, other godly high school students, and that ultimately then they would just decide, trusting that you are with them. Father, none of that happens without a relationship with you. And so as always, I pray for any student who may be in here that may not know you. Maybe they know a lot of things about you. Maybe they don't know anything about you. But God, if they've never trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would turn from their sin and their self, and they would trust you. And God, for those that know you, give us the encouragement to keep trusting you, to keep walking with you, knowing that you give us the wisdom to be discerning and to decide. We thank you and we praise you in your good name. Amen.